I have not watched this on Netflix. You guys have. I cannot believe what the sentence that I'm about to say. The district attorney of Los Angeles, the LA district attorney, the county, George Gascon, has recommended resentencing for the Menendez brothers. I can't believe, of all the things that I watch, of all the sports, of all the football, I mean, the crushing of the Browns tape. But who knows if I even know what I'm looking at anyway. The crushing of the Browns tape. The youth football tape in the huddle. I didn't watch any of that Netflix special, and apparently this Netflix special has got the people talking. And according to District Attorney George Gascon, he wants a resentencing for the Menendez brothers.
I have to tell you that after a very careful review of all the arguments that were made for people on both sides of this equation, I came to a place where I believe that under the law, resentencing is appropriate, and I am going to recommend that to a court tomorrow. We are going to recommend to the court that the life without the possibility of parole be removed and that they will be sentenced for murder, which, because there are two murders involved, that will be 50 years to life. However, because of their age, under the law, since they were under 26 years of age at the time that these crimes occurred, they would be eligible for parole immediately.
Don't call it a comeback from the Menendez brothers.
Isn't it amazing the power of Netflix?
Wow!
Like, it really is.
Yeah, we got Stephen Avery out for a minute. I think he went back in.
Oh, yeah. Maybe
he's back.
Never maybe got he Brandon never been out.
Brandon did not make it to SummerSlam.
He still threw a cat in a fire, guys. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, good God. I'm just saying, people are marching in the road for the guy. I'm like, you threw a cat in the fire.
I know.
Come on.
I know.
Go ahead, Menendez brothers.
First of all, I told you, and I think it might be end up going down as one of my worst takes ever. When I told you
that the Menendez brothers were guilty,
or that it was a comedy.
Oh.
Because by episode 4, where it's just 30 minutes of deposition of what the parents did, or what the father, more specifically, did to the one son, the younger son.
I didn't know that.
It wasn't a comedy anymore.
I could not finish the series because that was of tough. That
there was a.
Yeah,
there
was that
a,
was tough.
So that this is like the Netflix is like a show. Like, there's acting and things involved.
Yes, yeah. It is very much. And that Milli Vanilli has taken over. TikTok and things like that.
Oh,
like,
really?
With the memes and, you know, guys that are approximately the age of the Menendez brothers when it happened, dressing like them and wearing the same 80s, late 80s.
Oh, yeah. Designer stuff. Yes. It was all designer.
And doing the turns and...
These guys blew through so much money.
Lyle in the series is such a maniacal person.
He's the older one?
Yes.
Yeah.
That people are emulating it.
Yeah. After what, like, I didn't
and
know.
And it's getting blown past what happens in, like, episode 3 and 4 when they're doing the depositions. And that's where, like, even my kids have mentioned, I know that they're, like, they've seen that part of the meme. And so to them, this is just a fun little
a big
trendy
joke.
Thing.
Yes.
Guys, my daughters were like, have you watched the Menendez thing?
Well, the whole
and I'm like, I hope you haven't watched it because there is some full frontal.
Sure.
Oh boy, I didn't know that. Okay,
I
saw the documentary a couple years ago, and I didn't know about the father until a few years ago. I just thought, honestly, because I was a little kid when they were going to trial, so I just thought that these were two spoiled rich brats who shot their parents over their inheritance or whatever.
They were two spoiled
and
rich
that's the way,
brats.
I think that's the way America thought for 30 years.
I think what all these shows that try to bring back, you know, real crime.
Yeah.
I think the complexity in all this is that you don't know. I mean, as of today, we still don't know the horrors that they say, you know, happened that were perpetrated against them. We don't know how truthful it is. Back then, they just didn't believe them.
Mm-hmm.
The second jury in the second case just flat out did not believe them because they caught them lying about other things. So they became unreliable
witnesses.
What's
the evidence?
They were not allowed to use the alleged sexual abuse as a defense.
And they said, had they have known about that.
Yeah.
The first group of the first jury, they were mixed. Some believed, some didn't. That's why there was a mistrial. That's why they eventually had to go that route. I guess over the last few years or since then, more family members have said, yes, we think this stuff really happened. You don't know. Nobody was behind closed doors. That's the hard part about all of these shows. Remember, this one was told through the lens of the Menendez brothers. Well,
didn't they kill him in 89? Wasn't the original murder in 89? I keep wanting to say like early 90s, but I'm like, no, it's even further than that.
But so we're all left after like that one is very convincing. It's like, oh yeah, but it's also told through the lens of the two brothers.
Yeah.
So the two brothers are like, this absolutely happened to us. The family members have kind of come around, like a few of them in recent years. This is why they're opening up the case again. And they want to be able to do this
like
in sentencing.
The siblings of the parents.
Yes, they're saying, yeah, there's definitely mental abuse. We had wondered if there was actual physical abuse.
They waited 30 years to say this.
I guess there had been some over the years. The real one that made everybody really open their eyes was the Menudo, the dude from Menudo.
Yes.
He's like, oh, that guy definitely abused me and might have abused others.
Oh, jeez.
And that was the father.
Do I have to watch this Netflix show?
Well, there's also a documentary.
I saw it a couple years ago, the one documentary. Yeah. Is there another new one?
But okay. It opens up a larger question. We're a sports talk radio show, not really debating morals and ethics.
Well, we can turn it into, do they go to a Knicks game when they get out?
But that's the first thing they have to do.
I just received 92.3 The Fan.
Knicks are in town.
Your Cleveland home for Menendez Radio.
Yeah.
There you go.
The bigger question is, okay, if this happens to you, are you allowed to brutally murder them? Like, that's an open question. Like, are you allowed? And they savagely murdered their parents. And the crime scene. The people that were there on the scene were like, they could not believe how grisly that was. And then they acted like it didn't happen for what, a week?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was the crazy thing about it. They acted like it didn't happen. They went on a spending spree for months.
Yeah. Cavs are at the Knicks on Monday night. The Knicks don't come to town until February 21st. Just letting you know. Get your tickets now.
And does Mark Jackson have to be in attendance?
If ESPN wouldn't do it. I was saying, if you're inside the NBA, if like Mark Jackson was on that show, yeah, bring him on.
They'll probably get the Menendez brothers.
Listen,
these guys, if they get out,
yeah,
and they've served 30 years.
No, I'm saying get the Menendez brothers on inside the NBA.
Yeah,
is what I would say. That's what they would do.
Yeah,
Mark Jackson is on ESPN, ESPN would never do that.
They are going to make so much money because they have to. I mean, they are going to try to. I wonder, are they going to try to go right back to their lifestyle of before?
One got married in prison, right?
Yeah,
they're both married.
Okay.
Oh, they both are. Yeah.
Man, can't keep one's up been, down, man.
I believe the older one's been married and then remarried, both in prison.
All right.
Women?
Yes.
Both. Yeah,
good for them.
Because that was part of the story.
Fine in love.
The younger one, I think, was.
Coming up at 8 o'clock, Daryl Ryder going to join us on the show. He'll be talking about Jameis Winston. He's a starting quarterback for now, but for how long this season is Jameis Winston going to be the starting quarterback? And coming in hot at 9:40, please keep your comments within the boundaries of good taste. Is winning in the best interest of the Browns right now?
Yeah, so I still believe
it is.
I think right now, short term, yes. Probably for the long term, no, which I know is well, Anthony, all the wins count. It's one season. So any win they win now will count against their draft positioning later. I do understand that. I think there's a lot at play, though. Do you want to lose Myles Garrett? I mean, if you got a tailspin here, if you're Myles Garrett, do you want to sit around for this in a rebuild? Do you want to start from scratch?
No.
I mean, Myles Garrett's not stupid. He knows their cap situation.
But I also talked to him, and this is why it's a conversation to me, is that I sit him down. Like, if it's for one first-round pick, it's for any first-round pick, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to talk to him about it. I imagine he has a no trade. I don't know if he does. So let's say he doesn't. Do I still want to do right by the player? I don't know. You did right by Bill Callahan.
Mm-hmm.
Did you or did you not? Like, people keep telling me, well, you should have just kept him. No, he could have just retired. Ah, it doesn't matter. You should have just kept him. Well, it's not about who you have or who you let go. It's about who you replace him with. These things don't last forever. So Myles Garrett isn't always going to be Myles Garrett for the Cleveland Browns. At some point, there's going to be diminishing returns, either with the Browns or with somebody else. Now, a lot of people are trying to beat the diminishing returns, especially since you're 1-6. I still need to have a conversation with him because he's our next Hall of Famer.
Sure.
I don't want any one of these weird situations where there's player and team arguments and ugly. I don't want some Calvin Johnson situation where we have to deal with this for how many years and we're arguing and bickering over a drop in the bucket to some, which I still supported Calvin Johnson in that whole thing. I don't want any of that stuff to happen. So I want to do right by Myles Garrett. If somebody were to call an offer, say they lose, say they drop the next two ball games, which is obviously possible. If they drop the next two ball games and you're 1-8, and somebody on Monday, November 4th, calls and goes, listen, we need him bad. I'll give you 2-1s. I'll give you a 1 this year and a 2 next year, or I'll give you a 1-2 this year. Can you come in and can we talk? Can we still talk? Let me talk to Miles. I'm not just going to make that deal and send Miles off without even talking to him. He's been here long enough. He deserves that courtesy. And you deserve the courtesy to try to talk him into it. You've already done enough to set this franchise back. You might as well do something right by one of your players that the fans love. And I know that Miles, you know, he came to the defense of Deshaun Watson on Sunday, and people are upset with that. But he's still a player that is beloved and will be known as a beloved player for this city for a long time. 216-474-0092. Don and Lorraine, you're first up in the Fan.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
Wonderful. You know, Don, go ahead.
This is going to be a collaborative effort, we keep hearing. And the one guy that doesn't show up on the radar is our chief strategy officer. And I think this guy was the money ball man. He's a baseball man, and maybe he's really fit for running baseball, but I think the football experiment has pretty much ran its course.
Don, my guess is this is it for him. My guess is either he'll pivot into a new role with the organization. I don't know, maybe what role
would you want
to help them make more money? Honestly,
but he's a sports guy. He's not a business guy. That's what they have their business people for.
I don't know. Maybe he's gained their trust over the years. I don't know. I mean, honestly,
a football guy instead of a baseball guy, I believe.
Yeah, I think we're on the brink of him getting phased out and him pursuing something else anyway.
Okay. So I believe that maybe not the best interest of the Browns to win, but it's in our best interest to find the players that are still willing to put out the effort, and because we don't want to tear it down to the studs. We want to get a franchise-saving quarterback and keep some of the – we do have some talented players, believe it or not, and keep some of those and get the thing going so we're not tore down to the studs and waiting for a 6-7 year rebuild. That's kind of my thinking on it.
The franchise-saving quarterback, and Don, thank you very much for the call, and we're already getting caught in this already again, is where there's a lot of people going, well, your franchise-saving quarterback's the year after this year. Well, sometimes it always doesn't fall this way. And I
can't
guarantee
to predict that than ever before.
Exactly. So, and it's harder to predict that some of these guys are going to be busted. There was a lot of people who thought, you know, I was worried about Jaden Daniels. I was worried that, you know, he pulls his eyes down. A lot of the times he takes off, he just takes off. He hasn't done any of that so far in the NFL. He's been great for the Washington Commanders, and we'll find out after the injury here. Caleb Williams started off slow, starting to come along, fighting his way through it. They're 4-2, the Bears are. You know, they got something that they're cooking with. And so now you have these guys, and I think there were a lot of detractors to Caleb Williams over these last couple of years, where it seemed like he was bar none number one. And he always was, but because of that conversation, I think that there's been a lot of detractors and a lot of people who thought that he wasn't going to be able to do what he's able to do. I think you're going to find the same conversation this year. And I just wonder, who are you going to get that is going to inspire fans? Because I don't care how much longer you have left on your lease. You still want to put people in the building. Who are you going to get that it's going to inspire fans? Because when you did it in 2016 and 17, when it was tore down to the studs, it was still, hey, they're Browns fans. They like to do this. It's a family tradition. They go to these games on Sunday. Now, I don't know if you can say that anymore. I don't know. You know, once they've tasted the success, and they've tasted success with guys that they like, and now that a guy that they don't like is seemingly holding them back, and a bunch of people who've made decisions that they don't agree with are holding them back, you're going to have to inspire them with something. You're taking a quarterback. And so you got to figure out which one you're most comfortable with, and it's coming up in this class.